Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm Damali Peterman from Breakthrough ADR, and I'm sitting here with...
John Sly Hutchison.
Nice. And you go by?
Everybody calls me Papa Sly.
Papa Sly. Now, when I first met you, you said, my name is Sly, but I'm not a sly man.
Yeah.
And after spending several days alongside you, I know for a fact that you are indeed not a sly man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm Damali from Breakthrough ADR,
okay. And
basically I am so excited to be sitting with you today. Mm-hmm. This has been an amazing time in Ghana, coming back for the year of the return and getting to see a lot of the beautiful country with the most amazing tour guide in Ghana.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You. So Sly, where are you from?
I am originally from Salt Pond. My mom is from Salt Pond. But I was born in Kumasi. In Ghana, where you are born is not where you come from. We practice the matrilineal system of inheritance. So you see, where my mom is from, that's where I'm from. So even though I was born in Kumasi and I lived in Kumasi all my life, I'm originally a native of Salt Pond.
Okay, so yeah. You're from where your mom is from.
Yes.
And that permeates throughout the culture, because I know that you were saying that with respect to the king, the Asante king, that's also how it works.
Yeah, but the northerners practice the patrilineal system of inheritance. But we on the other side, we practice matrilineal system of inheritance. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you are from where your mom is from.
Yes, I'm a Sopon Afanti.
Afanti.
Yes.
Excellent. And Afanti is a tribe?
Fontis is a tribe. That's in Cape Coast area, where we have the slave dungeons. That's where the Fontis are from.
So Cape Coast is originally the Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast,
which
yes.
is a part of the transatlantic slave trade.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's and that's right. where the castles are, the yeah. Cape Coast yeah. Castle, the Elmina Castle that we had a chance to visit on our journey.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I love about you, Sly, there's so many great things. You're so interesting and fascinating. And one of the things that I really enjoyed each day on our tour was your proverbs.
Oh, okay.
Every day we would start our tours with one of your proverbs.
Okay.
And tell me, what's a proverb?
A proverb, we say they are wise sayings. We say proverbs to understand something proper. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes also say proverbs to instill discipline in the children.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's how it is. When the Ashanti king sits down to talk, he's not supposed to talk directly to the people in public. He usually speaks through and uses a lot of proverbs. And now the language, when I say a language, I mean somebody who is, I don't mean somebody who is so skillful in a lot of languages. Mm-hmm. I mean somebody who can interpret the king's words wisely and break down the proverbs and let everybody understand what is going on there.
Oh, yeah. I like that. So a linguist is the person who breaks down the proverbs
the
and explains the king's message.
The king is not supposed to shout directly to the people. He may lose his voice.
Okay.
So the king always has a mouthpiece that he speaks through.
And so what are some of your favorite proverbs?
I would like to repeat, for the benefit of the camera, I would like to repeat some of the ones that I've already taught you.
Okay.
And then some, because some of the kids were on the bus. But now we have proverbs, animal proverbs, and then we have proverbs of caution. We have several proverbs. Mm. So the first one I'll give you is, do not plant peanuts whilst the monkey is watching. Do not plant peanuts whilst the monkey is watching. You know the monkey loves peanuts.
Mm.
And then you are planting peanuts in his presence. When you are not there, what is he going to do? He's going to dig it up and eat it. So when you say, do not plant peanuts whilst the monkey is watching, it's a proverb of caution. You know, that's where this one comes in.
I like that one.
Yeah. And then we have another one that says that... two men in a house on fire must not stop to argue. Two men in a house on fire must not stop to argue. When they stop to argue, what is going to happen? They are both going to be burnt. So it's also a proverb of caution. Now, the third one I'll give you is a very interesting proverb, but I did not want to tell you because the kids were on the bus. And it's funny as well. The day the mosquito sits on your scrotum, the day the mosquito sits on your scrotum, you will learn how to resolve conflict without violence.
Oh, I love that. It's just Breakthrough ADR. It's all about resolving conflict. So explain that.
You see, the day the mosquito sits on your scrotum, you will learn how to resolve conflict without violence. When a mosquito perches on your scrotum and you hit it hard, what will happen? You're going to hurt yourself by crushing your balls. So it's not everything that can be resolved with violence. Sometimes you have to be extra, extra careful and deal with the problem slowly and wisely and come out of it. You don't just jump and hit it. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. So you have to be careful how you go about it.
I love that. So our Breakthrough ADR really focuses on finding ways to give people tools for resolving conflicts. For resolving conflict. I also learned here that there are a lot of ways to send messages without saying words. So you were talking about the king and his linguist, but I also learned about clothing, like this kente cloth that I'm wearing now.
You know, sometimes we use cloth to express our feelings. Mm-hmm. Somebody can buy a cloth, which means you are not my co-equal. It's a kente. It's a type of kente which is called you are not my co-equal.
Okay.
The person want to express himself without opening his mouth. You are not my co-equal. If your wife does something so good for you, you don't want to express it openly. But then you can buy a cloth that is called the good woman. The good woman, you know. And then you give it to her. And sometimes you have a cloth that is also called generosity doesn't go far. Generosity doesn't go far because sometimes you help people to go up, and instead of giving you a hand to come up, they make sure you stay down there.
I see.
So generosity doesn't go far. So we have so many names of kente and then other things. The popular one that we have is the Queen has come to Ghana. When Queen Elizabeth visited Ghana for the first time, a kente stole was made, and while she arrived from the plane, it was put around her neck. That kente is called the Queen has come to Ghana. And then we had another kente which was made solely for the first lady, Kwame Nkrumah's wife, Fathia. And that one is called Fathia Matches Nkrumah. And during the time of the president, nobody was allowed to wear that type of cloth because it was specifically made for the first lady. But because it was very beautiful, when the president was overthrown, a lot of people had the opportunity to make some for themselves and then use it because it's beautiful. So Fathia is still there. So we have so many names of kente.
And also, in addition to the fabrics that are used to send messages without saying words, there are also many symbols. You taught me about the Adinkra symbols as well.
Yeah. The fabric that I am wearing, you see, we call it Sika Wontabai. Money has wings. Money has wings. That's what I'm wearing.
And what does that mean? Why do you have on your money has wings
shirt? Have to be wise. Money, you can spend money without thinking, and you have to be careful how you spend it before you realize everything is gone. So you have to spend wisely. So people make fabrics according to events that has happened to them, and then they go and do that specific fabric. Mm-hmm. So we have the Fia Bosnia, which means stones of the house, you know, and then we have so many other fabrics.
That's awesome.
We have records and so many of them.
I've learned so many things on this wonderful trip, this return home to Africa, this return home to Ghana. And I've learned so many things, including the source of ways that conflict has been resolved for centuries, including bringing people who are having an issue, talking to an elder or to a chief or talking to someone. That is the way that we resolve conflicts now.
So, okay. You know, there's a way that you can do that to bring in a third party, mm-hmm. maybe someone who's wiser than you, someone who knows how to resolve conflicts, someone who has a lot of experience resolving conflicts. And you go to see that person, and that person kind of helps both people collaborate to come up with an understanding.
Yeah.
And that's still practiced today.
It's still practiced here. Here, divorce rate is very, very low. The reason is before people get married, they have what we call married counselors. Mm-hmm. Marriage counselors, they will counsel you, and then one pastor said, marriage is like life imprisonment. You go in and you don't come out again, whether good or bad. You know, people marry, everybody is coming from a different background. But so if they have issues, mm-hmm. now the marriage counselor, who is very wise, has to come in and try to resolve the conflict by making everybody understand how everything should be. It takes some people 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years to get to know or understand each mm-hmm. other. It takes some people also less. So it's all part of the thing that we go through here. So our culture is very, very important. We treat our women with respect. And so elderly people, you have to respect them. And so it's very, very important that all these things are done. And we are hoping that all those who are coming back home for the year of return will learn these things and then take it back home so that our children will also learn it and respect their elders while they are out there. Now, if you have a child who is on drugs, who has made a lot of money and doesn't respect the elders sit down and chuckle. And they say, the eyebrow came before the beard. You see, when you were born, you already had an eyebrow. But then as you are getting older, your voice breaks and the beard starts coming. So when we say the eyebrow came before the beard, it means, young man, be careful. We were there before you were born. We are more wiser than you. So you always have to go to the elders and seek counseling. Yeah.
That's excellent. And I love that that's still practiced today. A lot of our modern ways of resolving conflict come from traditions of getting help from people who can help you.
Yes.
And so that's just phenomenal. Is there anything else that you want to share?
I want to share folk tales. We also have folk tales. You know, in the olden days, grandma will sit all of us by the fireside and sing a song, and then we come out with Anansi stories.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the hero of our folk tales was born on Wednesday. His name is Kweku Anansi. Mm-hmm. Kweku Anansi. Anansi is a very wise person, and so he never gets into trouble. Sometimes he gets into trouble, but he finds a very nice way of getting out of it. So Anansi stories, we use it to discipline children. So if you read my book, you see that each story ends with a moral.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something interesting. The monkey one day paid a courtesy call on God and said, God, the Father Almighty, I am tired of the way I look. I'm almost like a human being, but not quite. Please, turn me into a human being. So God said, well, that's okay. Go and stay in that room for 100 days. So the monkey went into that room. He stayed there for 99 days. On the 99th day, just as he was turning into a human being, the hands were forming, it was turning into that of a human being. The eyes and everything was going to, and the next day he was going to be a complete human being. But then he opened the windows. He saw the birds swinging from tree to tree, and then he said, oh, how stupid of me to stay in here whilst I can enjoy the breeze and jump on the trees. And that's exactly what he did. He jumped on the treetops and started playing. So the monkey could not wait just for one day to get into a real human being. That is why you see the monkey almost like a human being. So this story teaches you patience. So if you are impatient in life and they tell you this story, you sit down, well, I have to be careful. And so that's how it goes. So every story has a moral.
I love that. And I have your book here. I want to show it to the camera, and I'll take a picture with you in the book.
Okay, yeah.
And it has 19 folktales in
19 folktales.
I know my oldest son has read all of them.
Yeah.
And he loves them. And I have read about 5 of them so far.
Okay.
And I think they're great. One of the ones that I really enjoyed was about Anansi and how he became flat. Because I love that story, how he went up to, I guess, was he in heaven? And there were a lot of other animals or so there. And when they asked him what his name was, he said, "My name is Yuol."
And then
they
started,
it was the birds. So the birds, they flew, he went with the birds. And they all had lent him a feather so that he could fly with them. They taught him how to fly.
Yeah.
And then when they got to their destination, they were supposed to have this huge feast. And Anansi was asked, "What's your name?" And he said, "Well, my name is Yuol," right? And so then when they started bringing out the feast, they said, this food is for Yuol. And so Anansi, being so clever, said to the birds, "You can't eat this food because you hurt them. They said it was for Yuol, so it's all for me."
Okay.
And so he ate all the food, and then he got so fat that he couldn't really move. And the birds were so unhappy that he didn't share the feast with them that they took their feathers back. And then they flew back down to Earth. And Anansi didn't have any feathers to fly.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
then he just leapt from the sky. And when he landed, all the food he had kind of, you know, escaped.
Some of the stories have come up. I remember I was doing a trip for Naim Akbar and Wade Nobles. You know them, these eminent African Americans. And then I kept telling stories. Then they said, Sly. So, and then they decided that we have to leave at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So if at 9 o'clock, if you are not on the bus, then they will fine you. You have to pay 10 cedis or 20 cedis so that they could use it for other things, to give tips and everything. And then I realized that Naim Akbar was always late on the bus. He was the leader of the group, but he was always late on the bus. So I decided to, Wade came up to me and said, "Can you do a story on lateness?" I said, "No problem." So I just sat down, thought about it, and then when I got on the bus, I said, "Once upon a time, there was a young, beautiful girl. She was so beautiful that no one could look at her twice. The chief of the village went to seek her hand in marriage. She refused. All the young men in the village went to seek her hand. She refused. And then one day they saw a thick, tall, handsome man come to the village. The moment the girl saw her, she said, 'That's my man.' Took this man to the house, and quickly the customary rites were performed. So this young man decided to carry the wife to the home where he came from. So they traveled for many years, days, months, and years without getting to their destination. Can you imagine that? Presently, they came to a certain part of the forest. The man gave both arms away. He paid for it, and they continued. They came to another part of the forest. He pulled both feet, gave them away, and they continued. He kept giving the body part, and he was nothing but a big, hairy skull. And then they got to a village full of hairy skulls. All the hairy skulls came. The girl was frightened. And then they tied her to a post to teach her a lesson. Anansi, the Spider-Man, didn't know what was going on. But every day, a bird would come and perch on the rooftop of her parents and sing. And only Anansi could interpret the song. So he said, 'Your daughter is in great danger. I have to go and rescue her.' And before he did that, he had to go and see a traditional priest who made some concoction for him so that when he drinks it, he will become invisible. So he went to the village and then untied the girl. But when he was running away with the girl, they heard the sound of the shackles they had put on her feet. It was making noise. And all the hairy skulls chased them, caught her, and decided to tie her some more. In the night, Anansi took some invincible concoction, drank it, gave it to the lady, and she also took it. She vanished, and they both ran away. They ran and ran, but can you imagine all the hairy skulls running after Anansi? They came to a village, the next village. Anansi told them to pick heavy clubs and beat them to death. So all these villagers took heavy clubs, boom, 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 beat them, and all the hairy skulls died. Now, Anansi decided to set the fire to all the hairy skulls. He bent all the hairy skulls, and only the hair was left. Now, the interesting thing is that the time this story took place, there was not a single hair on anybody's head. And Anansi decided to distribute the hair. And he called for people to come. The women were in the house cooking, so they were the first people to get there. That's why women have more hair than men.
Ah.
And then some men were also able to get there on time. And then some people have more hair. Unfortunately for some men, they were not able to make it on time. When they got there, all the hair was gone and only a handful was left. And so they took it, put it here and there, leaving the middle bare. And here was Naeem Akbar. He was bald. So I said, well, so if you ask Naeem, he will tell you, I couldn't make the race. Then everybody started laughing. So it was a fun. And that story just came because I had to tell it. And so this is a story also on lateness. Never be late for an appointment. So we have so many other interesting stories as well.
Well, Sly, it has been an honor to be a part of your tour group.
Thank you.
You've been an amazing guide.
Thank you.
I want to make sure everyone returns to Ghana. They look for you. You're so well respected and well regarded in this country. Everyone knows you everywhere we went.
Yeah.
And I think it's also a testament to your personality. You're so calm. You're so kind. And so patient. And I'm looking forward to sharing the folk tales with everyone. Yeah. And also sharing some of these proverbs, which I think really helped us throughout our journey.
And in 2002, I was given a national award. I have won the Best Tour Guide Award in Kumasi about 6 times.
Wow, congratulations.
I won the national award, and I went to Kenya. So that has been a very good thing. I like doing my work, and I like sharing information.
You've been doing it for how long now?
Close to 30 years.
That's a long time.
Close to 30 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, so I've been doing this. I love working, teaching my culture and everything. And one day I was just telling stories, and one of the ladies said, Sly, you need to put this in a book. I remember her name was Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do that. And I don't even know where she is.
Well, hopefully she'll hear our podcast, see it, and then she'll be so proud to
and
see
this.
And
she had a sister called Jubei, I remember. I think it was in 1992, 93, or 94, or 95. I don't remember.
So we'll make sure that hopefully she'll find it.
So
thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
For everyone listening, continue to break through and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH, DR. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.